Speaker, Terry Martin, much loved and admired. What more can I say?
Does the 8 minutes start now? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for that. I wonder if in the history of Tasmania has any southerner ever received an ovation like that in Launceston. I'd like to start by acknowledging my parliamentary colleagues, both Kim and Jeremy up on stage, and I think Peter Guthrie is here, and also the bloke who sits next to me in the chamber, Kerry Finch, who... I must say, given what I did on 30th of March last year, which kind of stole the headlines, I feel really guilty over one thing, and that is that Kerry, just before me that night, did a ripper of a speech about the pulp mill that got overshadowed by me crossing the floor. So I've apologised to him God knows how many times, but he really did a great speech that night. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to start with a quote and the words that I've used many times, and some of you may have heard me use them before. They go like this. On some positions, cowardice asks the question, is it safe? And expediency asks the question, is it politic? And vanity asks the question, is it popular? But conscience asks the question, is it right? And there comes a time when one must take a position that is neither safe, nor politic, nor popular, but he must do it because conscience tells him it is right. They are, of course, the words of one of the, I think, the two greatest men of the 20th century, Martin Luther King, together with the bloke he modelled himself on, Richard Gandhi. The words I've used often in speeches over the last decade, especially when I talk to young people about leadership or governance. But for all the times I've used them in speeches, I've probably used them up here in my own mind, probably 10 or 20 times more. Because I asked myself that basic question every time I'm confronted with a difficult decision. So it was that they were in fact the words that I used on 30th of March in Legislative Council Chamber last year when I indicated my opposition to the pulp mill approval process. Thus ending very prematurely my career in the Parliamentary Labor Party. And the action was fairly swift because the Premier said on the media that night that I was out. And I'll come back to that because that's an important point. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's my belief, and the reason I use that quote again tonight to start, it's my belief that if every politician, when confronted with a difficult decision, left it up to their conscience to ask that question, is it right? Then you know something? None of us would be in this hall tonight. We would not need to be here. There would be no need for an organisation like Tasmanians for Healthy Democracy. There'd be no need for any of us to be here tonight talking about ICACs. There'd be no need for any of us to be talking about ethics commissions. There'd be no need for whistleblowers. But ladies and gentlemen, sadly, it appears that we don't live in that type of utopia. Because rightly or wrongly, there is a perception amongst thousands and thousands and thousands of Tasmanians many of whom I've had connections with and come across over the last 13 months. There is a perception, whether it's right or wrong, it doesn't matter, because perception is reality in people's minds. Their perception is that there is something very wrong with the style of government and the decision-making of this government. Something very wrong. Now, I'd like to perhaps illustrate this by looking at take a case study of the recent careers of three Labor politicians. Let's see. Let's talk about Green and Cons and, let's say, Martin. I'm probably not random selection there. Brian Green, top bloke, really nice bloke. Everyone likes Brian. Deputy Premier, Minister, had to resign because he was confronting criminal charges because of actions he took in his capacity as a minister. Two court hearings, not found guilty, not found innocent. But you know something? I don't give a stuff about whether he technically, legally broke the law or not. That's almost a side event for me. I don't care whether he's found guilty of breaking a law technically or not. Because there's a much bigger issue for me. And it's the judgment. I don't care about the judgment of the juries. I care about my judgment of his actions. And to me, it's not whether he broke a law or not. It's whether his actions and signing that monopoly agreement to the TCC the day before the state election, was it the morally right thing to do? Was it ethical? Was it the right decision for a Minister of the Crown to do the day before an election was signed? Now, the moral issue is much more important than the legal issue for me, and I've made my judgment on that, and I'm sure each and every one of you have one way or the other. And then there's Steve Cons. Again, a decent bloke. I have nothing against Steve Cons. Deputy Premier, Minister, resigned. Now, what did he do? He did what I think is one of the most appalling things any politician can do. He deliberately, on his own admission, he deliberately lied to Parliament. That's the worst crime you can commit in a democracy in my eyes. And he didn't do it by accident. He didn't inadvertently mislead Parliament because an adviser gave him the wrong piece of information. He deliberately lied. And what does Doug Parkinson, the leader of the government and the Legislative Council, say about it? So what? That's what he said. If that's an attitude, that really sums up the attitude of the government towards that. So what? So bloody what? It is appalling. And it's just not good enough for Doug Parkinson or anyone else in government to say so what to that issue. It was lying, deliberately lying to the Parliament. That is appalling. And then who's the other guy? Martin. Now, what did Terry Martin do? 20 years in local government, working on planning committee. The first Tasmanian layperson to be made an honorary fellow at the Royal Australian Planning Institute because of the way I conducted planning in the city of Glenorchy. I had a deep commitment to the planning system, a great believer in process and consultation. That was the hallmark of my 20 years in planning. And then I'm expected to toe the party line and support the abortion of the planning processes of the state. There was no way I was ever going to do that. So what I did, my crime, was to actually allow my conscience to ask me the question, is it right? And the answer was no. So I voted against my government, I voted against my party, and I voted against the pulp mill approval process. Now, the reason I look at these three case studies is because to make the point that only one of them was considered guilty enough of any crime to be thrown out of the Parliamentary Labor Party. So I suppose that begs the question, is the worst thing you could do in the Parliamentary Labor Party have a conscience? I mean, how warped is that? You know, if it wasn't so serious, if it wasn't so tragic, it would be funny. But it is warped. What sort of logic is that? Because what it's based on is that my offence, unlike the other two, my offence was against the party. Well, bugger the party. I strongly believe in the core social values of the Labor Party, and I still do, but they're not carried out by this government under this Premier. But the point I'm making is that what is much more important than caring about the party is to care about the people you're supposed to represent, the people of Tasmania. So this story illustrates to me quite vividly why this government, under this Premier, is just reeling from crisis to crisis to crisis to crisis, one after another. And all of us in this room, I think most Tasmanians know, that it can't be fixed with a so-called makeover. Because the reality is that you can't make over someone's basic personality. And that's the problem. Because Paul Lennon just doesn't get it. He just does not understand the importance of process. And you can't change that. It's the way he is. And it seems to me, though, that each crisis, every single one of these crises faced by the government, could have easily been settled in 5 minutes. They could have all been so what issues, in the words of Doug Parkinson, if one thing, if the Premier and the relevant ministers simply did one thing in each case. If they simply answered the basic questions, the legitimate questions that were being raised by the opposition parties, by the media, by the people of Tasmania, by people like me in Estimates Committee. What they need to do is to answer the questions honestly and directly and truthfully. And then none of these crises would have happened. Instead, what you get is a refusal to answer, and Lindsay's touched on this. You get this blunt refusal to answer by turning it into an attack, into a character assassination of the person asking the questions or the person daring to differ in their opinion from the Premier and the government. And you've had the character assassinations one after another. Julian Green, Dr. Rafferty, Christopher Wright. Oh, for heaven's sakes. I came across the media release just by accident a couple of weeks ago. When Christopher Wright was appointed to the RPDC position. The man of the highest integrity, said the Premier. And what happened? Within months, because this man was of the highest integrity, because he was committed to doing his statutory duty, despite the fact that it didn't suit the Premier, next thing you read these media releases, he's a shocker. And then me, in terms of me, I'll write a book one day. And then he turns on the media. I mean, if you listen to him on Tim Cox a couple of Fridays ago, when he again, legitimate questions being asked by Tim Cox. But what happened? He turned the attack onto Tim and the media generally. And today, another classic example today, attack the messenger. Graham Sturges, the Premier's lapdog, who happens to have an office next door to me in Glenorchy, puts out a media release. Apparently we're all Greens here. And why? I went to the research that goes into this. Because it says that a quick search of the web shows that Marion and Anna, who organised the North and South meetings, a quick search online confirms both have strong links to the Green side of politics through their opposition to the pulp mill. Well, I'll tell you what, I would like to tell Graeme Sturgis that the thousands of emails I've got, the thousands of people who have come up to me in the streets since I crossed the floor and go to the pulp mill, very few of them are about the pulp mill, they're just about the process. And it's from all walks of life, young and old, rich and poor, from Sandy Bay, all over the state, Launceston. I can't walk through the streets of Launceston now without being stopped by hundreds of people, which I love. And let me tell you, and my message to Graeme Sturgis is that they're not Greens. They're from all walks of life, including, I might tell him, the Labor heartland that we both represent, the city of Glenorchy. They are as concerned about the process as anyone else in the state. And I'll tell you what, Graeme needs a lesson. And I am happy to issue a challenge to Graeme Sturgis to come to a forum in Glenorchy and debate with me this issue of governance in front of the Labor heartland. And he might start to learn that it's not just Greens. It is actually the broad cross-section of the Tasmanian community. So, and I would love to be able to debate with him the whole issue of what happened with the pulp mill process, all of the issues that the Christians are not answered to. Perhaps Graeme would like to do it on behalf of his government, because no one else has. So I look forward to the debate. There are basically three things I would like to say that we need. First of all, Tasmania does need a new watchdog type body, as much for its discouragement of inappropriate behaviour on the one hand, but also its education activities on the other. We also, Tasmania also needs an integrity commissioner, someone who can provide advice to the government, because if there's any issue the government needs advice on, it is this issue of integrity. And Tasmania also needs to publicise and strengthen the protected disclosures legislation, or the whistleblower legislation as it's known. So that we never have to put up with this crap, that every time someone speaks out against government, they get a character assassination. And what Nigel Birch is going through at the moment is just appalling. And we all know why it's done. It's to deflect attention away from the government's own indiscretions. So with all of this in mind, in the second last week of parliamentary sitting, I introduced a bill, I've had drafted about 3 or 4 months ago, to introduce an ICAC through the Legislative Council. It's a model that I've come up with, which is a hybrid of interstate models, but based largely on the New South Wales model. There are many different models being promoted. I think that if I have one fear in all of this, there's this enormous momentum to bring in some sort of body, some sort of watchdog. I just fear that we don't go the way of the Republican movement, because I think they had... I've got the wind-up police sign. I think the majority of Australians want a republic, but it failed because they couldn't agree on the right model. So I'm not arguing one way or the other for the Republic, but it's an example of where we could go wrong. We need to really agree on the right model for Tasmania, and I intend to have a lot more consultation before we sit again, and hopefully we can get through the upper house, and that will put enormous pressure on the Premier, assuming the two opposition parties support it. It will be enormous pressure on the Premier to give ground and to let it go through. I started with a quote from Martin Luther King. I'd like to end with a quote from one of his contemporaries who he worked very closely with and suffered the same fate, and that's Robert Kennedy. And Kennedy said this: "The problem of power is how to achieve its responsible use rather than its irresponsible and indulgent use, of how to get men of power to live for the public rather than off the public." Thank you.